Please turn with me in God's Word to the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 39. Genesis 39, we'll read verses 1 down to verse 6. We are continuing in the life of Joseph, but also the message we commenced last week, that the Lord was with Joseph. And here the Lord is with Joseph in Egypt. And we looked at 2 points, and we want to think of 2 more thoughts today. But we'll read Genesis 39. Verses 1 down to verse 6. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, brought him off the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down hither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and made him overseer over his house. And all that he had he put into his hand. And it came to pass from that time that he had made him overseer in his house, and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew aught he had save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favoured. Amen. We know the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his word. I think I may have to get one of these big. I was preaching in the Sovereign Grace group one day, and Mr. Stephen Toms, when he was doing the Bible reading, he had one of these magnifying things. I don't know, a big, massive, long thing that he just follows it up through. And I thought he was doing it just to follow verse by verse. But it's not. He puts it on the first. It has a big magnified text. So I may have to do that, or hold my glasses like this and start reading it like that there, so I can see the words are starting to get now too small, even for my eyes now. But nonetheless, we pray the Lord will give us help. Well, we'll seek the Lord in prayer. That's a good thing about using machinery here. Well, your notes, you can expand them and make everything bigger. So we'll look to the Lord now in prayer. Heavenly Father and eternal God, we rejoice that thou art with thy people. We thank thee while we realize it's not an easy road we are traveling to heaven, but we have one who is with us, one who will never leave us nor forsake us. And Father, we pray even just now that thou wilt draw near and that thou wilt give help. Lord, we know not the states of the hearts of thy people as they come into the house of God, but Lord, thou dost know. Lord God, we realize what we don't know what will happen to us tomorrow, the trial that we'll go through the week after or the day after. But, O God, thou dost know. And, Father, we thank thee every time we come to the house of God and we hear the word of God proclaimed. Lord, thou art not only instructing us and teaching us, but, Lord, thou art preparing us for what lies ahead. Therefore, we pray, give us grace to follow thee in Jesus' name. Amen. In considering the account of Joseph's life, we have learned that Joseph has experienced much trouble. Remember, and it's easy to forget, but Joseph is just a young teenager. He's over 17 years old. Yet his youth has been marked with sorrow, hatred, and betrayal. He is sold. His brethren have sold him. And then he is bought as a slave into Egypt. And there's a lot more we can add that we have looked at in greater detail over the last number of weeks. And some might conclude, was Joseph being chastised for some sin in his life? Had Joseph gone down a wrong road? And to come to such thinking, to come to such conclusions would be wrong. Because we know at the end of the story, in Genesis chapter 50, verse 20, when Joseph said to his brethren who did all these things to him, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it on to good. Therefore, we learn in the whole life of Joseph that God is working out his own redemptive purposes in his life. God was the potter and Joseph was the clay. The Lord was molding him, shaping him, preparing him to be that vessel used unto honour for the Lord's own glory. All that occurred in Joseph's life was planned by God's own eternal decree and put into action by God's guiding hand. And so we want to remember that everything that we have looked at in the life of Joseph, nothing has gone wrong. Nothing is unknown to God. Rather, God is in control of it all. Because when we apply the same lesson to our lives, it's easy to think that things have gone pear-shaped. However, nothing catches God by surprise because he ordains all things. And therefore, all that comes into our life is planned by the Lord at certain times, at certain seasons, for a particular purpose. Again, it's all a part of what we learned in Philippians. It's all a part of the good work that has begun in us. And that good work that will continue until the day of Christ. And so God has moved mightily in Joseph's life, directing him, even into Egypt, through times of severe struggles, suffering, and sorrow. In Egypt, Joseph would be further challenged. Pressure would be added. His life would be further examined. But during these hard times, these stressful times, these pressurized times, we learn in verse 2, the Lord was with Joseph. Again, Acts chapter 7, when the history of Israel is recorded, we learn in Acts chapter 7, verse 9, God was with him, that is, with Joseph. And while Egypt is a place of trial, testing and temptation, yet the presence of the Lord is with Joseph. And because of that, the Lord makes all that Joseph did to prosper. Remember in Genesis 45, verse 7, and in Genesis chapter 50, verse 20, God has chosen Joseph and sent Joseph to save the tribes of Israel, to save much people alive from death by famine. He is chosen of God to preserve the seed line, that seed line which the promised Messiah will come through. Remember, one of Joseph's brethren is Judah, and Christ will come through the tribe of Judah, the line of Judah. And so in the famine in Egypt, as we will get to, if Judah perished, then what about the line of Christ? And so Joseph has been chosen as the one to save the nation. Joseph cannot fail because God is with him. Therefore, as we think of Christ, a greater than Joseph, Christ is chosen by God, sent forth to save sinners from every nation, from eternal death, to bring many sons to glory. Christ came to save his people from their sin, to save all the sins of all his believing people. Therefore, Christ did not fail because God was with him. Upon the cross, Christ gave himself to pay the penalty and the punishment of sin. He provided salvation for all his people, all whom the Father had given to him within the everlasting covenant of grace. Therefore, believer, as we said, in this world, with all its trials, its struggles, its heartbreaks, its temptations, its tears, its challenges, its accusations, whether at home, in employment, in education, as the Lord leads, so he promises his presence will go with his people, and he will prosper by turning all the evil that is set against us for his own honor and his good and for the benefit of his people. And so having learned of Joseph's time in Egypt, we learned the presence he enjoyed. The Lord was with him. The prosperity he experienced. The Lord made all that he did to prosper. Notice two more thoughts today. Thirdly, the position he earned. The position he earned. Again, verses 4 and 5. Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, that is Potiphar, and made him overseer over his house and all that he had put into his hand. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had. So here is the position that he earned. As the Lord was with Joseph and made all that he did, as the Lord was with Joseph, then it was clear that he would make all that he did to prosper. And it was only natural then that Potiphar would take notice. He would see how God had prospered him. Remember, Potiphar has brought Joseph as a slave into his house. God is with him. God is prospering him. And now Potiphar can see that. He can take notice. He sees Joseph's behavior, his attitude, his diligence, his integrity, his gentleness. All this is before Potiphar. Potiphar was, or Joseph then, was rewarded for the labors of his hand. Joseph was a worthy servant. He was a faithful servant. He was in Egypt working for this heathen man. Yet Joseph did his work to the glory of God. Whatever Joseph had to do in Egypt, what Joseph had to do in Potiphar's house, providing that it was not against God, Joseph did it to the best of his ability. He did his work as unto the Lord. And what a lesson that may be. You may not like the school that you're in or the teacher whose homework you may have to do. You may not like the boss who you work with. But the job that you do, the work that you do, you are to do it unto the honor and the glory of God. Because Potiphar, he takes notice. Joseph is in this house and he can take notice and see something is different about Joseph. Maybe the house is a lot cleaner than what it was. Maybe other things are taking place. Things are running more smoother. There's organization and we could say a lot more. But whatever is happening, it's all because Joseph is there. And Potiphar can see it. Again, remember, we learned that word last week, the word prosperous and the word prosper in verses 2 and 3 means success or successful. And we noted it also translates as prudent, referring to behavior, referring to conduct. So whenever Potiphar buys Joseph as a slave, puts him in his house, sets him to work, he can see the behavior of Joseph. He can see Joseph behaves himself wisely. His conduct is that to glorify God. Through Joseph's life, he behaved himself. Whether he was in the field, remember at the start, we learned that Joseph was in the field with his brethren. And there was the evil report. Joseph was not a part of that evil report. Everybody else was, but Joseph was outside of it. At home or away from home. In Hebron, the place of fellowship, or in Shechem, or in Dothan, or in Egypt, places that were associated with the world and spiritual wickedness, carnal pursuits, and ungodly pleasures, Joseph is still behaving himself. He's still living unto the Lord. Joseph didn't take the thought, well, you know what? I'm in Egypt. I can do what I want. No. Nor, well, when he was away from his father, Dad won't know about this. He behaved himself. Why? Because he lived on to the Lord. Always note that. Whatever we do, God is always watching. God always knows. Nothing can be hid from him. Even when among the Lord's people or among the unsaved, the Lord made all that he did to prosper. Joseph is working in this house. He lives in this house. He's working in this house. It's an ungodly place. It's a hard place. But God is with him and God prospers him. God moves mightily. Since Joseph is now in Egypt, he's a servant in Potiphar's house. It's evident to Potiphar as he watches Joseph, he can see one who behaves himself. And so he promotes him, the position that he earned. Joseph is doing his work faithfully. He's not cutting corners. I mean, he's not, let's use the illustration, getting the carpet and just blow that in there, or instead of cleaning it, blowing all the rest. He's taking time to do things. And so he makes him overseer over his house. He gives him a role, a responsibility, a duty. Joseph, you have everything. Now remember, except Potiphar's wife, because we'll come back to that in a few weeks' time. That's the key. Don't forget that. But Joseph has everything for Potiphar's house. He's overseer. So Joseph, if you like, is a servant of servants. He's the chief or head servant in the house. And for that reason, Potiphar trusts Joseph. Notice, he leaves all that he had in Joseph's hands. Again, except his wife. Potiphar went about his own duties, his own responsibilities. Remember, he's under Pharaoh. He works for Pharaoh. His responsibilities to do what Pharaoh asks him to do. So as Potiphar leaves the house and he goes to do those responsibilities, he knows his house is in good hands. Joseph is looking things after things well. So Joseph is promoted. He earned this promotion. He was faithful. He was obedient. All he did was unto the Lord. Nothing changed. And by his obedience, here is the position he earned. And once again, men and women, we look beyond an earthly Joseph and we look to a heavenly Joseph, the Lord Jesus Christ, because he is the perfect servant. He is the obedient son. He is the one who every single blessing, he earned those blessings for his own people by his own perfect life. He came to save sinners lost in Adam and ruined by the fall. So all the rewards that Jesus Christ received within the everlasting covenant of grace, he did so by earning them. He lived a perfect life. He died a sacrificial death. He did all that was required within this covenant of grace in order to honor God and to save his people. Never forget that truth. Christ had to earn his people. He had to live for them. He had to die for them. He had to rise again for them. All he did was to earn his people. But also all he did was to earn them and provide for them a perfect righteousness to enter into heaven as the only way to find acceptance with God. The Lord Jesus, he fulfilled the law of God. That law that offended God's honor. That law that was broken. God demanded payment. And so Christ gave himself to honor God's law. He paid the precept or the commandments of the law by obeying them. And then he also obeyed the penalty of the law by dying. For the soul that sinneth, it shall die. The salvation, the redemption, the forgiveness, all spiritual blessings that flow to us and are free to us cost him his own body and his own blood. What was free to us cost him. When God gave his son, he gave his best. He spared him not. The Lord Jesus said in Luke 22, verse 29, I appoint unto you a kingdom as my Father hath appointed unto me. Here was the reward that Christ earned in fulfilling the will of God, that was a people given to him. The Son of God was promised a covenant people as a reward for fulfilling the terms of that covenant. He lived for people. He died for people. That people is his inheritance. That people are is his treasure, his church, the ones he loved, the ones he gave himself for. They are one with him. Therefore, Christ received all the rewards for his labor. Because when Christ died, we are the labor of his hand. When souls are saved, that is the fruit of Christ's labor. He will see the travail of his soul and be satisfied. My righteous servant shall justify many. And therefore, he earned redemption for his people. God's people have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Christ has entered into the field or within heaven as their guarantee that because he has gone into heaven, we too will enter into heaven. That's why I'm assured of heaven. Why are you assured of heaven? Because one, my sins have been paid for. Christ died for me. Christ rose for me. But Christ has now entered into heaven for me. And because he is there, we shall be also. So, the position that he earned. Finally, the privileges he endowed. Again, the privileges he endowed. If you're taking notes, that is E-N-D-O-W-E-D. Just in case any pronunciations there doesn't come out. The privileges he endowed. Verse 5. The Lord blessed the Egyptian's house. Now, this is powerful. I want you to grasp this. The Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. When Potiphar bought Joseph into the house as a slave, and Joseph lived on to the Lord, Potiphar's house and his surrounding boundaries were blessed by the Lord. The success extended in his land. Potiphar all of a sudden could see the rise of good things around him. All of a sudden, things were beginning to increase. Things were beginning to multiply. Things were beginning to happen that had never happened before. Maybe people, I think we're only speculating here. Maybe people would have robbed him blind. Maybe people would have stole for him. Maybe people would have done things behind his back, but not Joseph. Joseph is there to make sure all goes well. And we learn that God blesses Potiphar's house for Joseph's sake. Potiphar knew increase in different areas. All that belonged to him, it prospered in one way or another. But as we said, the prosperity, the advancements, the increase in Potiphar's house, his land, his goods, was not down to Potiphar himself or how he did things. In fact, Potiphar deserved nothing of the Lord. The Lord was not obligated to bless Potiphar's house. In fact, the Lord could have came down in chastisement upon his house. But the reason why the Lord did not afflict the house, because Joseph was there. The increase came by the Lord. Potiphar's house was blessed. Notice, for Joseph's sake. The word sake, or the phrase for the sake of, again, verse 5, at the end, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. The word sake, or for Joseph's sake, can be read on account of, on behalf of, or because of. The Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. The Lord blessed the Egyptian's house because of Joseph. The Lord blessed the Egyptian's house on account of Joseph. And so the whole point is, any blessing upon Pharaoh's house is because of God blessing Joseph. Joseph is the chosen son, the obedient son, the suffering servant, a faithful servant. He is the one where it has been prophesied. He will be the exalted one. He will be the one to rule and reign. He will be the one where his brethren will bow down and acknowledge him to be ruler in the land. And so the point is, any blessing, success, or increase to Potiphar, this ungodly man, this heathen worshipper, was because of God blessing Joseph, his presence with Joseph. He prospered Joseph. He was with Joseph for his sake, because of Joseph, on account of Joseph. Potiphar is this unjust, ungodly, heathen man whose loyalty lies with Pharaoh. And yet he knows blessing. He knows bounty because of the goodness of God for the sake of Joseph. Take Joseph out of the picture. Take Joseph out of Potiphar's house, and there's no blessing, and there's no increase, but there's just struggle. And this opens up many lines of thought. But let me give you what is termed as common grace. Common grace is not saving grace. Rather, it is God's blessing, God's goodness, God's kindness, God's mercy, both to the saved and the unsaved. It is common grace, if you want to say, is God taking care or providing for his creation in a general sense. That's what common grace is. That's why, sinner in the meeting, if you're not saved, you should still be thankful for provisions that God gives. You should still be thankful for the air that you breathe, for the day that God has given you. That comes down to God's common grace, God's general grace, God's goodness, both to the saved and the unsaved. Again, the Lord spoke of this in Matthew chapter 5, verse 45. For he maketh the sun to rise on the evil and on the good. He sendeth the rain on the just and the unjust. And so God, in common grace, he sustains, he supplies for his creation. He has promised, he upholds all things by the word of his power, because all things were created by him and for him. Again, Genesis chapter 8, verse 22. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. So all these things are in the promise of God, God's common grace. But common grace, as I said, is not saving grace. Christ said of his people in Matthew chapter 5, verse 13, ye are the salt of the earth. Now remember before he said, you are the light of the world, but ye are the salt of the earth. Salt dealt with corruption. And salt is vital for everyday use. I don't know if you like salt on your food. Maybe you're one of these people who maybe just put a wee bit of salt, or maybe you're one of these people who put the whole thing on and all the rest. But salt dealt with corruption. That's why the Lord said, ye are the salt of the earth. Why? Well, let me give you some of my thoughts here about salt. Salt preserves. Before the days of fridges, salt was the means of preserving meat from decay and going off. And so salt was applied to the meat or the fish that it was packed into to preserve it. Salt purifies. It has that cleansing ability. Again, Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 4, talks about newborn babies washed in salt to clean their bodies. Salt provides seasoning. It gives flavor to food. It has a distinctive taste. It stands out. Again, Job chapter 6, verse 6. Job asks, and maybe you'll know this yourself, you can put this in your kitchen, this verse, can that which is unsavory be eaten without salt? Or is there any taste in the white of an egg? And so there are those who will get the egg and they say the egg needs salt. Again, you will know chefs, whenever chefs are making and they keep, whenever they're doing tasting, the one of the rules of a chef is, have you tasted that? Before you give it out to someone, have you tasted it? Does it have seasoning? Does it have salt? Is it too much salt? Is it too less? And keep salting and keep tasting to make sure it's not bland. Why? Because it provides seasoning. Salt promotes thirst. It creates a thirst for water. Again, salt penetrates. When it's applied to something, it begins to work. For instance, if you take hard, cold ice, or you think in the wintertime, whenever the ground gets frozen, you put salt over it, and soon it begins to work, and begins to melt, begins to soften, it breaks through the hardness. And so those are things that salt does. And so the Lord is saying to his people, taking all those thoughts, you are, and it's emphatic, you and you alone are the salt of the earth. Your life is to be lived for the glory of God, that you create thirst for God, that your life will impact, that in among corruption you will be shining forth, that you will be distinctive. You'll not blend in and all the rest. And so where God's people is, there are blessings. God blesses. Education, businesses flourish where God's blessing is. But remove God out of education. Remove God out of business. Remove God out of the home. Remove God out of the church. And there is downfall. But where God is present, when his people are as the salt, there are blessings. There's prosperity. There's increase. And the point is, Joseph to Potiphar was salt. He was effective in his house. Joseph in the house made all the difference. And Potiphar knew it. Others could see it. His possessions, his property increased. God blessed his house because of Joseph, on account of Joseph. And therefore, let me take you afresh to your heavenly Joseph, the Lord Jesus Christ. Because all the exceeding riches of God, they come through Christ. Jesus Christ is the channel of every blessing. God blesses his people, not through entertainment. We don't come to church to be entertained. God blesses his people through Christ. Remember Paul said in Galatians chapter 3, verse 8, that God would justify the heathen, that is, pardon the heathen, through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. And God promised that he would bless the family line, the seed line of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Judah, and so on. Again, Genesis 22, verse 18, that in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Again, Galatians 3, verse 16, that the word seed refers to the Lord Jesus Christ. In thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. It is in Christ. Abraham was given the message of Christ. And it's through Christ will there be blessings to nations. Why? Because Christ is the greatest blessing. He is the good news to fallen men and women. He's the Savior who came down. And he has a people in every language, in every tribe, in every nation. And as the gospel is preached, as Christ is exalted, he will draw his people unto himself. And so we learn Ephesians 1, verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. So all the blessings we received is not because of us, but it's on the basis of Christ, on account of Christ. We are blessed for Christ's sake. When God meets with his people here, and you leave, and I say this, I'm not trying to turn this on me. When you leave refreshed, or you leave with a good word from God, and you're really encouraged on a Sunday, it's not because the preacher has preached better one week than he did the week after. It's not because he's put one point in or left a word out or finished 10 minutes earlier or 3 minutes later. Any blessing you receive, it's because of Christ or through Christ or by Christ or on account of Christ. Any blessing that I receive It's because of Christ. It's all because of Christ. It's nothing to do with the preacher. It's all to do with Christ. God blesses his people for the sake of Christ. All that God does is for the sake of Christ. And always remember that. Christ loved this church. So God blesses his church because of Christ. He's earned those blessings. He's purchased those blessings. And so, you think if our sins are forgiven, why are our sins forgiven? Well, Isaiah 43, verse 25. Here's what the Lord says about our sins. Isaiah 43, verse 25. I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions. The word blot means to wipe out. You get that whiteboard in the back room. You write something on it and get the eraser, the remover, and just go right across it, and it will blot it. It will remove it as if it wasn't there at the beginning. And that's what the Lord said. I am he that blotteth out, that erase, that removeth thy transgressions. Why? The end of the verse. For mine own sake. Because of me. I save you because of me, not because of you. I've redeemed you because of me, not because of you. I've chosen to save you, not because of you, but because of me. It's all with Christ. Again, Psalm 25, verse 11. For thy name's sake, or on account of thy name, or because of thy name, O Lord, pardon mine iniquity, for it is great. And the psalmist is saying, Lord, pardon my sin for your sake, for your glory. Again, 1 John chapter 2, verse 12. Wonderful. Again, first, I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. Your sins are forgiven on account of him, because of him. He's the reason why our sins are forgiven. Our sins are forgiven, or the people in this church. It's not because the Free Church had a vision to come to London to set up a work and say, well, I'm saved because of the Free Church. No, we're saved because of Christ and his sake. And therefore, always remember that. It's Christ and Christ. He's the center figure, just as we're learning in the book of Genesis. It's about Joseph. Potiphar's house is blessed because of Joseph, for the sake of Joseph, on account of Joseph. And so, here we're learning about a greater than Joseph, the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 5, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake, and the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. Every area of Potiphar's house, his fields, whatever belonged to him, prospered, increased because of Joseph. God blesses our house, our family, our work, our school, our journeys, our health, our church ministry because of Christ. He gives the increase. He sends the showers of blessing. He causes, as we've been learning in previous Wednesday nights, he causes our coasts to enlarge because of Christ. In closing, when it comes to God's redeemed people and the blessing that we receive because of Christ, the heathen will say, as Psalm 126, verse 3, the Lord hath done great things for them. And then God's people will be able to say likewise. Psalm 126, verse 4, the Lord hath done great things for us. Whereof we are glad. And so, whenever we have the presence of God, the prosperity of God, the blessings of God on our life, and we're faithful, we're obedient, others will say, the Lord has done great things for them. Not people go to that wee church building up there. The Lord's doing great things for them. There's more people coming in. I hear about more things happening. I see numbers coming in. God's blessing them. God's moving. People actually want to go to a church in this day and age. Where are you going today? Going to church? What? Why? Because God's word they want to hear. The Lord's done great things for them. And then because of that, the Lord's people are able to say, the Lord has done great things for us. And may that ever be before us. And so we've looked here, the Lord is with Joseph. We've looked at these points in the last number of weeks, and I trust they've been a help to you. Just give them one more time. The presence he enjoyed, the Lord was with him. The prosperity he experienced, God made all that he did to prosper. The position that he earned, verses 4 to 5, he was made overseer of the house. All was given on to him. And then the position he earned. And then finally, the privileges he endowed. Verse 5, through Joseph, Potiphar's house was blessed. I trust that we'll know that blessing, that in our workplace, our college place, our home, that our life will show shine for the Lord, that we will know the blessing and others will know the blessing and be blessed by our presence. May God write his word on our hearts. Amen.